Disclaimer: The Prisoner of Choice is a work of fiction. Any resemblance with any person, incident, or organization is merely coincidental. This audiobook may contain material unsuitable for those weak at heart. Audience discretion is advised. Chapter 9. Exodus. It was daybreak, and the first light was breaking out upon the horizon. I had washed out the entire night on my own, for I had hardly felt sleepy. I found it prudent to let the others get in as much sleep as they could, for I sensed that the day ahead was a hard one. It was best for us to head out to an early start, and so I decided to wake the others up. As I stood up, I realized that my throat was parched dry. I decided to fill my empty hip flask from the small rivulet that ran past the camping site. We were indeed quite surprised when we struck water the previous day, for we had not expected to find any. I headed out to the rivulet, which was at a few minutes' walk from the campsite. I hoped to God that I would still find it flowing freely as the day before. I smiled to myself, for I had thought that the sight of the minuscule stream on the previous day had indeed been a desert apparition, or a trick that our minds had played on us. But it was not so. I replenished my hip flask from the stream and drank deeply. The water was wonderfully cold, and I splashed my face in it. Rejuvenated and heartened for another hard day's journey, I decided to head back to the campsite. The desert air was still chilly, as the sun had yet to present itself in all its glory. I had to admit that the sight of the valley in the serene light of the dawn bode no great evil to my heart. It seemed neither dreadful nor sinister. I marveled at the tricks that my mind could play with me. The same sight which brought to my heart dread could later bring it hope. I smiled to myself and walked back to the campsite. As I approached the clearing, I was indeed surprised at the silence which still engulfed the campsite. A few of the archaeologists were regular travelers in this part of the land, and so I expected them to be awake by then. I was also surprised at the way each and every one of them had slept resoundingly all through the night, when it was mutually decided by each one of us to keep a watch on the campsite. These thoughts in mind, as I approached the clearing which was supposed to be our fabled campsite, the scene that spanned before my eyes shook me to the very core. As I stood there flabbergasted with a look of horrified disbelief in my eyes, I questioned reality and its realness a million times over. In abject disbelief and denial of the sight that then greeted my eyes, I retraced my steps back to the stream to ensure that I was not lost. I was not. That was our campsite. I staggered around in despondency, my mind still numb from the events that had transpired before my own eyes, and in that moment of sheer disbelief, in that one moment, I silently marveled at the way this vast expanse of dread and desolation had played me into the hands of destiny. The relative sense of security that it had instilled in me, only to bring me so far to the edge and then to push me over the cliff. My own words echoed eerily inside my head. The tricks that my mind could play on me. Fearing that we had indeed seen an apparition of the desert, the Great Rift Valley, a vast expanse of dread and desolation. As I contemplated on my thoughts, for the very first time, I felt the full impact of the sight that greeted my eyes as I stared in despondency at the clearing amidst the rocks. The same place wherein we had spent the entire night. Everyone had disappeared into thin air. The horses, the tents, the chattering men, they were all gone. I screamed out their names in derision, trying to find them, but in vain. "Alfred! Alfred!" I called out for the man with whom I had sat the first hour of the night out. Only eerie silence greeted my cries as they echoed around the emptiness that surrounded me. There were no signs of a speedy exit. As I examined the clearing, I could see no trace of hoofs or holes where the tents were erected. The remains of the fire that had started the night earlier had vanished. There was no clue to suggest that a group of people had indeed camped out here on the previous night. As I wandered around in disbelief, I started to question my own sanity. Was all that transpired indeed an illusion? Was all that I experienced but a trick of my mind? Had this vastness of dread and desolation played a cruel trick on my weak heart? As I questioned my own predicament, it brought to the fore the eerie possibility of a realization which would destroy the very genesis of my creation. Was the entire journey that I spanned through two continents, was it simply a product of my psychotic bipolar tendencies? The words of the doctor back in Habsburg echoed through my ears as I relived through the entire ordeal wherein my family denounced me endlessly, wherein they cast me down for having lost my mind. Visions upon visions of the endless traumatic episodes that I had beheld in my dreams, the many assurances of deliverance and redemption that Wolfgang had promised me, the God, the same God who came to me in my dreams again and again, exhorting me to walk the path of righteousness, the path of selfless benevolence, and the path of eternal service to humankind. His face, the face of the Lord that had so uncannily resembled the face of my own earthly father, Wolfgang. Had it all been just a byproduct of a mental disease? Was it all an illusion? Was it all a dream dunked in which I had embarked on a journey to follow my destiny and reclaim my lost divinity? Was it always me who was trying to find a greater than self purpose in all my actions? Was it always me who was dunked in psychotic plans of grandiose, thinking that I had a greater purpose to fulfill in this worthless life of mine? The choices that had led me to this question slowly flashed in front of my own eyes. How did I come to question my own sanity thus? Was that it? Was that the end of the quest? As I thought of that question, the most fundamental of all questions came to light. Had there ever been a quest to achieve? Or was all this just a figment of my own imagination? I questioned myself endlessly as I stared into the emptiness, the very emptiness that now engulfed me, trying to decipher the silence, trying in vain to find a trace of reality amidst the madness that surrounded me. Where had the travelers gone? Where had my companions disappeared? I had no steed. I had no food. I had no guide. Was this the end of my hope? Was this the final resounding closure to all my efforts of attaining the unattainable? Was this it? It sure seemed like the end of all ends.